The following program is a production of EWTN, Global Catholic Network.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? And how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." Verbum Domini.
Deo gratias.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained."
Verbum Domini.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Today is Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, the day the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in the form of fiery tongues. Sometimes he comes as a violent wind, sometimes as a whisper. He's pictured sometimes as a spring gushing forth with new life. He is the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Advocate. He is the finger of the right hand of God. We pray to the Father through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. According to Pope John Paul II, in his beautiful encyclical on the Holy Spirit, Lord and Giver of Life, he calls Jesus the first counselor and the Holy Spirit the second counselor. He's always coming. He's always arriving. And he is always present. Because the Holy Spirit lives in the now of eternity, where there is no before and after. Do you remember that definition of time according to Aristotle? Time is the numbering of motion according to a before and an after. There is no before. There is no after in eternity. It's always now. He comes with light. He comes with strength and power. It's like a car at night. If it doesn't have the lights, it goes off into the ditch. If it doesn't have power, the engine never turns over and goes nowhere. He comes with the light of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge. He comes with the power of piety, fear of the Lord, and fortitude. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit recorded by the prophet Isaiah in the Hebrew Scriptures. We need them all. They perfect the virtues that you and I might have. Come, Holy Spirit, come. This is a prayer that's always answered because it's a humble prayer. Every humble prayer is answered. And he will come with light and he will come with strength. It's a prayer that we can breathe any moment of our lives. The condition for its operation, I remember, is the state of sanctifying grace, that you and I have no unrepented grave sins on our soul. And if we do, repent and go to confession. Make your peace with God. And you and I will know how much of the Holy Spirit that we do have by the fruits of the Spirit listed in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. Examine your conscience on these. Charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, self-control, and chastity according to your state in life. These are the fruits. And if people see these fruits within us, they know that the Holy Spirit is present. No one can call Jesus Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? No one can call Jesus the Son of God without the help of the Holy Spirit. No one can really believe that Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament without the Holy Spirit. Yes, the devil is the accuser, but the Holy Spirit is our advocate. We need his help constantly. And that's why we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. You could have a perpetual novena in honor of the Holy Spirit if you would use that prayer. We have as much of the Holy Spirit as we love the church. And don't ever tell me you love God and despise the church. You're a phony, you're a fake. We have as much of the Holy Spirit as we love the church, because the church has for its soul the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that which gives it life. It's the heart of the church. It was the Holy Spirit that inspired the sacred scriptures, so that the sacred writer would write only what God wants him to write, and everything that God wants him to write. This is why the church is indefectible. It will not falter, despite in some places where it's gone down and seemingly has lost the faith. As a whole, it will not falter. The Holy Spirit is with the church. This is what guarantees the infallibility of the Holy Father when he speaks in matters of faith and morality, when he teaches what's right and what's wrong, what's to be believed and what's not to be believed. It's the Holy Spirit that guides the church. It's a wonderful gift, and that's why he's called the gift. And it's the Holy Spirit, too, that inspires each one of our souls to strive for that Christian perfection that God has called us to. He's the Spirit of truth and he's the Spirit of love. And that's how he wants you and me to share his message, to speak the truth in love. You and I were sealed with the Holy Spirit at our baptism and again at our confirmation. In fact, the formulary for confirmation, according to the new form, is be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit when the bishop puts the chrism on our foreheads. It used to be the old form was, I sign thee with the sign of the cross, and I confirm you with the chrism of salvation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is sent for the forgiveness of our sins. And when you and I are anointed to get that strength and power to persevere in our faith and our love for God until we breathe our last, it's the Holy Spirit. And the formulary is that this holy anointing and His most loving mercy, may the Lord give you the grace of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord who frees you from sin raise you and bless you till the end. When our class was ordained to the priesthood 51 years ago today, in the crypt of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, it was the Holy Spirit, the finger of the right hand of God, that made that change in our personhood. We were ontologically changed. That means our very being was transformed through the imposition of the hands and the words from the preface. And when the priest confects the Eucharist on the occasion of the consecration of the Mass, he puts his hands out like this. It's called the epiclesis, the invocation of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit, through the words of the priest and the ordination of the priest, that brings about that transformation, that change, the annihilation of the substance of the bread and wine. And the body and blood of Jesus Christ becomes present under the form of bread and wine. The greatest miracle in the history of the world. If your marriage is holding together happily, praise the Holy Spirit. You see, in marriage, there are two special graces that come through the Holy Spirit. First of all, to receive marriage, you have to be in the state of grace with no serious, unrepented, grave sins on your soul. But you get an increase of sanctifying grace. But also you get a very special sacramental grace, the grace to be good parents, good spouses, a worthy husband and a worthy wife. But that sacramental grace does not operate unless you are already in the state of sanctifying grace. Praise and thank God for the operation of the Holy Spirit. When He came on Pentecost Sunday, He filled the apostles with His love and told them to go forth, teach all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. And we beg that we might persevere in our love for God until we breathe our last. And hear those final words. Go out, Christian soul, in the name of God the Father who created you, in the name of God the Son who redeemed you, and in the name of the Holy Spirit who sanctifies you. The retreat master for that first novena, preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, was Mary, the Mother of God. She's the daughter of God the Father, the Mother of God the Son become man. She is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we thank God, especially for the Holy Spirit's operation within Mary. She conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's commemorated so powerfully in the prayer that we begin to pray again after Pentecost, the Angelus. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, she said, be it done unto me according to thy word. And then the greatest line ever formed in human language, and the word became flesh. the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Son, became man. And he stays man for all eternity. This is the glory of the human race. The Son of God in human form sits at the right hand of the Father. Who would ever dare to believe anything like this? It's the operation of the Holy Spirit. A wonderful gift. We pray for all those people who do not know the Holy Spirit, as some of them in the Scriptures didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit that ever existed. We do. And he proceeds from the Father and the Son. You see, God the Father generates God the Son. God the Son is generated by God the Father. That mutual love of Father for Son and Son for Father, that mutual love is the Holy Spirit. But in the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit is sterile. According to the words of St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort. But he said, under the heart of the Virgin Mother of God, the Holy Spirit became fertile. She conceived by the Holy Spirit.